Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Janine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Today's episode, I'm going to be interviewing Dr. Radhisha Brown. She's an entrepreneur, an energetic and informative speaker, a radio host, author, and licensed therapist who's overcome a rough start to life and persevered. Dr. Brown is the host of Therapy Matters, where stories of triumph are shared along with tips on how you can overcome your greatest struggles with holistic living. Her passion and mission in life is to inspire others to dream, achieve, and overcome in spite of where they started in life. You'll find her on the airwaves weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in Atlanta, Georgia on WDJY 99.1 FM or streaming online at www.wdjyfm.com or Central City, Kentucky on WMTA 107.3 FM or 1380 AM or streaming online at www.wmtafm.com. Dr. Radhisha Brown is a specialist in terms of helping folks overcome their greatest struggles. And in particular, today we're going to be talking about weight and its connection to depression. I see this a lot in my office. I think that for a lot of folks, it is a topic that is kind of shoved under the carpet a lot or under the rug a lot, because a lot of folks don't see the connection of depression to their increasing weight. So many people come into my office and they're just like, I just want to lose weight. Just give me a meal plan, doc. Tell me what to do. This time it's going to work. I'm motivated. It's going to happen. Right. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, but we haven't dealt with the problem. The problem is the health in terms of your mind. Your mind's not right. We've got to get your mind right first. Then we can get those numbers to come down. So Dr. Radhisha and I are going to talk all about what you can do to take control of your life that doesn't involve stepping on the scale or using the awful D word, diet. Okay, let's get on with the podcast.
Dr. Radhisha Brown, thank you so much for coming on my podcast, The Health Fix, today, because I am so excited about talking about depression and weight. And the reason being is because I know in your field just as much as mine, you're seeing it a lot. How many?
Yes.
Yeah. Like, what's your percentage of folks coming in? Because I think a lot of people are scared to talk about how their mental health might be affecting their physical health. Almost like their shame, you know, that there's like this guilt and shame.
Absolutely. I specialize in depression, specifically women dealing with depression and weight issues. So all of my clients are dealing with depression. But a lot of times what they come to me for is issues with weight. And through that process, through working with them one-on-one, I helped them to understand that it's not the issue with weight that's holding them back. It's the issue of their mental health and their mindset. And many times we have untreated trauma that we've carried throughout our life that we've just kind of dealt with. We dealt with by eating. I know that was my problem. I experienced trauma growing up and dealt with it by eating, or we deal with it by drinking or using drugs or have inappropriate sexual interactions, whatever the coping mechanism we come up with, it starts and ends with the mind.
Mm-hmm. No, I can't agree more on that. And I think for a lot of folks, they're so focused on, I need to lose weight. I need to lose weight. I need to lose
yes.
weight. It's like, no. You need to get your head right. Then the weight will come down.
Yes. I like to say, girl, we're going to get your mind right so we can get your body snatched. Okay.
I love it.
You cannot get it any other way. I can give you a meal plan, but it's still not going to get you where you're trying to go. The end game is loving the person that you see in the mirror, no matter what size you are. It's not about the size or the number on that scale. It's about what you see and what you feel when you look at yourself in the mirror. And so trying to help individuals understand that transformation that has to take place, and the fact that the number on the scale is not even a part of the scope. Mm-hmm. What's part of it is understanding what's driving us, how we feel about ourselves. What are those negative thoughts we have about ourselves and how we see the world and how we view ourselves as relation to the world? You know, I myself understand this so dramatically because not only as a licensed therapist, but also someone that ate my feelings. I was clinically obese. You didn't hear. I didn't say overweight. I was obese. And I'm only 5'1". I was nearly 200 pounds or somewhere in that neighborhood. I actually stopped weighing myself because I didn't want to see what that number was on the scale. So I understand the journey and that it's difficult. And, you know, you don't want to deal with those traumatic events that happen. You want to just forget about them, quote unquote. But in order to get to health, health of the mind, health of the body, health of the spirit, you got to take a look back and really face and walk through that pain.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. What I would like to know from you is what's your process in getting people to stop looking at the scale and stop asking? Because I have a ton of people that will come into my office and they'll be like, I just need a meal plan, doc, and I'm going to get on track this time. Finally, I'm going to get on track this time. It's going to happen, you know? And
I'm just going to do the diet and everything else will come into place.
Right.
I know. Part of the process, I start off with what are their dreams? What are their hopes beyond the weight? You know, one of the requirements that I have is that we don't talk about weight. Like when you come to me for your first few sessions, you cannot talk about weight. If you do, there is a penalty. Because weight is focus. You know, I just need them to understand that weight is not the focus. Because what is the end game? Because you can be any size. You could be 120 pounds or you could be 400 pounds and hate yourself, mm-hmm. right? You could be a size 2 or a size 16 and still hate yourself. So what I need and what I try to impress upon my clients is it doesn't matter the size you are in. It doesn't matter the weight you have. What matters is how you feel about yourself. And once we start talking about those discussions and talking about some of those things that they've never told people, some of those traumatic events, then all the emotions start pouring out. Then they slowly have the epiphany that, oh my God, I'm eating now because of something before. I'm eating now because my dad touched me and I didn't tell anybody, or I felt abandoned, or I felt alone, or I felt like nobody cared or loved me. I feel like I'm unworthy. And once you start changing that dynamic, everything else falls into place. Because if you don't love yourself and think you're important or think you're worthy, why would you care about what you eat? Like in the long run, why would you care if you ate a bag of Doritos or fried chicken or pizza versus a salad? Like, why would you care? And so that's the connection I make for people. That's what I help them to understand. And I do it in a way that's simple, that makes sense for them. And part of it is that I understand the journey. You're like, I understand the difficulty. For me, I gained a whole bunch of weight. My coping skill was eating fried chicken. And it's you know, I'm in the South, and it sounds almost comical that I'm eating fried chicken. I ate fried chicken like days and months and months and months. And people were like, how could you eat fried chicken every day? Specifically, we have a grocery store here in the South. It's called Publix. Do you guys have Publix?
We don't, but my family used to go to Florida every year, and my mom used to embarrass the daylights out of me because she would call it Publix. And so I'm like, oh my God.
Okay, Mom.
It's like, oh.
Well, Publix, oh my God, they have the best fried chicken. And the lady that cooked the chicken, her name was Miss Ann, and I would go there so often, you know, we became friends. And so part of why I ate fried chicken was not because it was fried chicken, but because it reminded me of my grandmother. It reminded me of a place that I felt comfortable and I felt loved and I felt accepted. When I didn't accept myself, when I didn't love myself, when I didn't feel worthy within myself, I needed to find that place. And that place for me was through fried chicken. And then Miss Ann was older and she kind of, you know, reminded me of my grandmother. So I would just constantly go to Publix and order fried chicken because it gave me comfort. And for, as you can imagine, eating fried chicken every day, my cholesterol was off the chart. I was pre-diabetic. Everything on my body hurt, my back, my side, my knee. I mean, I sweat in places I never knew I could sweat in. it was rough. You know, living that obese life is rough. It's rough. But in order for me to have gotten from that place to where I am now, healthy and happy and loving the person that I see in the mirror, I had to go through that journey. I had to face, you know, the trauma and the feelings of worthlessness and feeling unloved and feeling like my mom abandoned me because part of my story that I share on my show is, you know, I grew up, I'm one of five. My mother was addicted to alcohol and drugs and wasn't able to raise us. So my grandmother, you know, pretty much took us from the hospital to her house. And so, you know, that part of that trauma of not having a mom or dad in that matter and feeling like I was not worthy of her getting help and getting, you know, healed from drugs and alcohol and choosing that life versus choosing the life of being a mom, you know, that's how I dealt with those feelings, is by eating. Mm-hmm. And so it led me to a very dark place. It led me to just pretty much laying on my couch and, you know, I was a functional, you know, somebody that was clinically depressed, but functioning. You know, there's a misconception that in order for you to be depressed, you have to like not leave your house and not change clothes. But in fact, most people, specifically women, they function every day. They go to work, they take care of their kids and, you know, and they're depressed. Mm-hmm. So, and I work in mental health. I understand what mental health, but even for me, it was like, it took me a while before I was ready to change. It took me a while before I felt brave enough to deal with all those emotions and pain and anger that I had towards my mom. Like I was so secretly angry at her and feeling like, why couldn't you choose us? Why couldn't you give up drugs and alcohol and be a mom? You know, and until I was ready to face that pain and that trauma, I couldn't get to the weight I wanted to get to. I couldn't get to feeling safe and feeling like I didn't eat fried chicken every day and feeling loved and worthy within myself. So that's what I teach people. And that's part of the journey. And in fact, my new book that'll be coming out this summer is called Girl, Get Off the Couch. Most of my time on the couch, like I would get up, I would go to work and I would come back home. I'd eat my fried chicken on the couch. I'd cry myself to sleep on the couch. I'd be mad on the couch. Like everything happened on mm-hmm. the couch. I was ready to get my butt off the couch. My was just in that same place of not changing, except for my scale, which was quickly rising.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And my story is, you know, we all have a story. All the women that I work with have a story. You know, mine is tremendously traumatic and heart-wrenching, but so are so many other people. And the more I work with women, the more I realize how much pain we're really in, that we're covering it with outward work, we're covering it with surgeries that we're having to ourselves, we're covering it with makeup, we're covering it with nice clothes and shoes and a car and a house, but we are living in pain. Mm-hmm. And the pain associated with the trauma that we've never talked about, that we've never been able to face, that we've told ourselves so often that it doesn't affect me, like it doesn't matter. But in fact, it does. It does every day, and it affects the decisions we make. It affects the people that we choose to love. It affects the people we choose as friends. It affects our jobs and how we perform on our jobs. It affects every facet of our lives. So that's what I try to help clients to understand, is weight is just a small, tiny part of the whole picture. Right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And boy, you know, I bet you could probably speak to this too, how hard it is to convince people that weight is just a little bit of the picture, because I have so many people that come in and they're like, I didn't have any trauma. There's nothing wrong. I haven't had any issues. I'm like, oh.
No, I'm perfect. Everything. I just eat all the time. And so, yeah, you do get clients like that are just unwilling or unable to face whatever happened to them. But for me, in my practice, I start with a client list. And some people get to where they're trying to their destination much faster than someone else. Sometimes I got to work with people that are not at a place to even talk about or admit certain things have happened to them. So we start, and I like to give them, you know, quick wins in terms of weight. Like, okay, we're going to do this program for this period of time, and they start seeing the weight come off, and then I'll slowly introduce, okay, so let's talk about this is what you've told me. This is the goal. And I just reiterate the goal that they give me. It's not the goal I have for them. It's what you tell me you want to go and how you want to feel. And so we work from that. And it's amazing when it happens. It was amazing for me, you know, to go from being obese to being healthy. It was an amazing transformation. It did not happen overnight, but I am sure glad I did it. Cause man, my doctor was very, very, very clear with me that I was certainly on my way to definitely being diabetic. That was no choice in the matter. I was certainly on my way to developing heart disease. And I had a high risk of cancer because all of junk that I was putting into my body. So, you know, to now look at those same numbers and be healthy and everything being in the green versus in the red, you know, I was worth it. You're worth it too. You're absolutely worth it.
I can't agree more. That is so huge to hear that you had the turnaround. In fact, I would love you to talk a little bit about how long it did take you to change your body, but also the labs, because I think a lot of people, you know, unfortunately are like, I need this instant gratification. I need this to happen like right now.
Yep. And that was the hardest thing for me in the transformation. Like I felt like I didn't eat fried chicken for like 2 days. I should have lost at least 10 pounds. Like I was like, okay, I've lost 10 pounds, you know? You know, but one of the biggest realities is I had to keep reminding myself that I didn't get to that weight overnight, and I wasn't going to get to my final destination overnight. Like I had to keep telling myself that over and over and over again. But then the bigger piece to the puzzle is not to focus on weight. What I have people do is to focus, to have a goal unrelated to weight. So for me, my goal was being able to walk and not have my thighs rubbed together. In the summer, I'm in Georgia. It's hot. I'm getting, you know, all things happening. I'm sweating in places. It's like, you know, I just want to be able to walk around and not have my thighs rubbed together. So instead of running to the weight, to the scale every day and be like, oh, is it 2 pounds? Is it 0.5? Is it 0.3? That was my goal, and that's what I focused on, visualization. Like, I have clients to visualize the body, the feeling, that specific goal, and to keep that in mind and to work towards that. But certainly, it was not overnight. I would, you know, I had wins in the first 30 days. Like, I lost weight in the first 30 days and in the second month. But ultimately, the total transformation took almost a year.
Nice.
Certainly, I got smaller and smaller as I went through, but to get to where I am now was almost a year. And people be like, oh my God, that's so long. But guess what? You get to keep it off because you're learning the simple techniques and lifestyle changes. I don't want to give you a quick detox, a 3-day or 5-day or 21-day detox, and you lose 20 pounds. And then you gain back 30 or 40.
Oh, my gosh. Right? Because I don't
know. I did that.
I don't know how many times people do that.
Yes. Mm. Yes. And I did it. And I did. I was like, oh, my God, I lost 30 pounds. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then within the next month, I had gained 40. I was like, I would have literally been smaller if I just kept the weight. So getting people to understand that. And I think people, you know, over time and working through, once they start focusing on that number on the scale and start focusing and realizing how they really feel about themselves, and that's what helps people. But certainly, it was not an easy journey. I'm not here to say that it was a quick fix, and I have the magical recipe that's painless and it's, you know, where you don't have to face trauma and don't have to face things that you're afraid to talk about. No, I'm telling you that it is tough. And some days I bawled my eyes out, but I'm telling you, you're worth it. And you deserve the best life possible. You absolutely deserve the best life possible. You deserve to be around to see your kids grow up, see grandkids, and you deserve to be not in pain. You deserve to love the person you see in the mirror. And for me, for so long, I looked at the person. I felt like I was ugly. I wasn't good enough. My cheeks were too fat. And, you know, everything was wrong. And so that was the greater pain, more so than the weight. And so that's the transformation we're talking about, is just understanding and loving and accepting that person that you see. And once you do that, like, the whole world opens up to you. You're able to focus and to achieve the things you didn't think possible, you know? And it all starts from how you think about yourself. I like to say, when you change your mind, you change your life. Because once you start thinking and feeling like I'm important and I'm worthy and I'm loved, that tremendously changes some of the decisions you make in terms of your partner, you know? You're not just any old body that comes to the front door and is like, hey, what's up, girl? Come on, let's go. No, you're like, uh-uh. No, you cannot just come through in your mama car. You know what I mean? You ain't got no job. No, you know what I'm saying? Like, you really start questioning and making better choices. You like, so that's what it's about. It's about loving and being and enjoying that person you are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What about, so here's another one that I kind of wonder, that a lot of people kind of come up with me. They're like, well, who should I choose to help me, you know, kind of guide me through? Did you have a mentor to help you, you know, work on your transformation, get your mind right? Did you have?
I had two things in which I did. I had a therapist that I was able to clinically walk through and deal with that trauma, that childhood trauma that I never spoke about, that I never dealt with. So definitely I'm a proponent of, therapy, because therapists are trained to deal with and to address and to understand the difference on what's medically needed to be treated. Cause sometimes what we're physically dealing with is a medical issue versus an emotional issue. Certainly I had a therapist, great therapist that I worked with. And then I also had a naturopath. I sought out a naturopath doctor and worked through the blood work and natural supplements that could help me rebuild at a cellular level. Like, that's so important. We like to look at the outside, you know, results of things like, oh, my skin, do I have wrinkles, or, you know, is my skin bright, and these things. But that work happens on the inside. We want to have quick fixes and go to the plastic surgeon and get this tightened or get that loosened or add a little extra here. But really want your skin to look a certain kind of way to be able to fight off disease and inflammation and all that stuff. It happens at an internal level. It happens at a digestive level, especially in your gut, because that's where your immune system kind of lives. So I had a naturopath that was skilled in working with folks to help rebuild things that they destroyed, because I had to, like, pretty much rebuild my body, you know, from the inside out, not the outside, but the inside out, so that it could be a fighting machine, so it could fight the fat, you know, it could fight the inflammation, it could fight the pain. But I had to give my body the right ingredients so that it can do the work that it's designed to do. Like, how, you know, God made it in such a marvelous way that you have what you need to fight. You have what you need built inside of you to fight. You just got to give it the right ingredients. Yeah. You got to give it healthy food. You got to take the junk out. You got to take the sugar out. You got to add some probiotics. You got to add things to build what you've destroyed. And it's amazing how quickly and how enormously your body responds to that new mixture. Sure, I like to say.
Oh, I love it. I love it. What kind of things did you start with? You know, what were the basics in terms of starting with fixing your digestive system? What'd you start?
The first thing is taking the sugar out. Like, I had no idea the dangers and the detrimental effects of sugar. And it's in everything. Yeah. I drank, my drink of choice every day was McDonald's sweet tea. Like, and you know, some parts of the country, McDonald's doesn't offer sweet tea, but in the South, it's like a little bit of tea and like a whole bunch of sugar. And I drank the 32 ounces and I thought I was like doing good. But oh my God, like it just wrecks your entire body, makes you at a higher risk for diabetes. It increases the severity of your depression. If you don't have depression, it leads to creating depression. So I had to take, first step was taking that stuff out. And sugar is extremely addictive. It is 8 times more addictive than cocaine. So literally, it's easier to get off of cocaine than it is for sugar. It's not fair. And I was like having withdrawal symptoms. I was like dreaming about it at night. I was sweating. I had headaches. Your body goes through this detox process as it would anything that you're addicted to. So I need people to understand that you are dealing with an addiction. It's not that you just choosing to do these things, although there's choice in the matter, but you're psychologically and physiologically addicted to the supplements that you've been putting into your body. Like for me, it was McDonald's sweet tea, which is, oh my God, the number of grams of sugar in here. Like it's unbelievable. So our process, you start taking out the junk. And for me, that's where I started at. It wasn't the fried chicken. The fried chicken was like phase two. For me, it was easier to, in my mind anyway, to get off of the sweet tea. So I was like negotiating. Okay, sweet tea and the fried chicken. So I'm going to first give up the sweet tea, and then I'll work on the fried chicken. So that's what you do. That's what you do in stages. So I think people fail when they're trying to transform and transition because they try to take on too much at one time. Mm. So my first step was just taking the sweet tea off the table and substituting it with water and lots of water, which is the mineral of life, water, because it helps to detoxify and purify and hydrate your body. And then the second stage was taking out the fried chicken. And as I took out something, I added something back in. So that's the negotiation part in my mind and the balancing. You just can't take out everything. Take out and replace. Yeah. So as I took out the sweet tea, I replaced it with water and lemon water and doing different fruit in my water, just different combinations that made me excited to drink water. And then as I took out the fried chicken, I needed to balance it with something else. So instead of like fried chicken, I would do baked chicken and then different combinations of baked chicken and salads and different things. So it's not just about taking all the bad stuff out, but putting the right stuff in as well. And then I started adding supplements. Like I think everybody in America should be on a probiotic. My personal thing, because it's you need good bacteria in your body. You need good bacteria in your stomach to help your body to rebuild. That's a key ingredient, in my opinion, to rebuild. I also think for brain health, we need fish oils. Those are two staples in my diet every day. That I take every morning is a probiotic and fish oil, because fish oil has the ability for anti-inflammatory markers, but it's also good for brain health. And as you're dealing with mental illness, it's certainly important to add supplements to help the brain to heal.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I think everybody needs both of those. I am in agreement for sure on those two.
Yeah, it was a slow process, but you know, after a while, you know, after the first month, you start getting into new habits. You start developing new habits. After 6 months, you start to develop a new lifestyle. After a year, you are in a new lifestyle. So things that you used to do in the past just doesn't come natural to you anymore. You want to get to the point where it's just a natural part of your life. You're not even thinking about, oh, should I eat fried chicken or baked chicken? You want to get to the point that you're just going to get the baked chicken. There's not even a choice in the matter because this habit is now your lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So that's my goal for long-term health and mental health and physical health and transformation is getting to the point where things are just, you develop a new lifestyle. I don't like to tell people you're not doing a diet. I need you to take diet off. You're developing a lifestyle, a new norm for you. And your new norm may not look exactly like my new norm. That's the other thing that's important. It's not going to match the person next to you. It's not going to match exactly mine. You're going to develop it to what feels good and comfortable for you, right?
Absolutely.
So you may continue to drink some sweet tea. We may just cut it instead of buying it, you're going to make it yourself. And instead of using sugar, maybe you're going to use stevia or something else. We're going to work in. For somebody else, maybe they don't want any tea at all and they're just going to drink water. But it's an individual process. I think we so sometimes get discouraged because we're like, oh, I can't do it like Susan or Sally. No, you're not going to be Susan or Sally. You're going to be your own person and you're going to develop your own program and your own lifestyle. Right? Same thing with exercise. People think, oh, I got to go to the gym and I got to do the weights and I got to do the treadmill. No, if that's not a part and makes you happy, you don't have to do it. I like to just pop on some music, and be in the house, just popping and locking, up a sweat up and down my stairs like I'm at the club or something, But that works for me. That makes me happy. But, you're going to create your own program. You're going to create your own program, your own new lifestyle.
I think that's really important that you say you're going to create your own lifestyle, because I think a lot of people do look at all the different, buy this program, buy that program, this, this worked for Jenny Craig, this worked for, so-and-so. And it's like, whoa, no. We're all individuals and we all, change differently. We all need something that resonates with us. Now, I love that you dance in your house. That's awesome. I can only dance in the bathroom because if my husband sees me dancing, he laughs at me. So I have no moves whatsoever.
The good thing about doing it in your house, nobody knows. Like, in your mind, in my mind, I'm like a girl in a video, popping and just doing it all perfect. In reality, no, it does not look like that. But, I'm working up a sweat. That's the whole purpose of exercise, getting your heart rate up. You're working up a sweat. It's not going to the gym. But sometimes I do go to the gym. I like to spin on the bikes. That's pretty cool, too. So it's just whatever works.
Absolutely. So I got a question for you. One of the things I hear from a lot of patients is, well, my friends, my family, they're on me. They're always like, you're not eating enough. You need more food. Or, oh, I brought over a cake. Or, food is love kind of concept with the family. Or the friends are like, hey, let's go out to eat. And what do we do about social events if you don't want to eat where we normally go? What'd you do about that? What was your plan?
Yeah, and you do have that. I know when I first decided to change my lifestyle, people were like, oh my God, you always eat cake. And you're like, no, I don't want any cake. But you always have cake. And then people like trying to pressure you into the cake. Yeah. Especially, they always celebrate something. But two things helped me. One, I'm always prepared. Like, I always have snacks or something in my purse that I can just easily grab, that if other people's mouths are moving because they eating, then my mouth is moving because I'm eating, but I'm eating something different. So that's one thing. And the second thing I learned, that the word no is an anointed word. Many times we think we have to say yes, like somehow there's something out here pressuring us to say, like, we can only say the word yes. Like, do you want some cake? Oh, yes. No. I had to get into my mind that no, the word no is an anointed word. And so it's important to use it. It's important to be empowered to use it. And it's not that you're being mean to anybody or being disrespectful. It's the fact that you're choosing yourself and you're choosing your health, and understanding that no is part of your tools in helping you get to your destination. And once you say it a few times, then people stop asking.
That's true. I feel like people have to get over the first couple times of using the N-word, and then it's perfectly fine. After you say no, three or four times, then everything's fine.
And I'm just like, no thanks. Now people don't even ask because, pretty much everybody kind of knows that I choose my health much more. But if I, ever get to a new situation or whatever, I'm like, oh, no thanks. And then I just keep rolling, I don't feel pressured because guess what? I'm important and I'm worthy and I know I am and I know I'm special. So that little cake not going to faze me. You know what I'm saying? That's what I need to get to. I need you to be like, no, because I'm not trying to develop diabetes or any. I'm not saying you can't ever have cake again in your life, but you shouldn't feel pressured to do it because somebody is offering you cake.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's it. I think people just have so much of
that pressure, like they feel like someone, you know, it's going to offend someone, or they're going to be sad because you didn't want to try their cake at the party or whatever it may be.
Another thing I tell people that are like true introverts and like, oh my God, I cannot say no. I tell them, just say you're allergic.
It's true.
I'm allergic to that. You know, just say you're allergic. And people be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry I even asked you. That's okay. Just say you're allergic. Like, whatever you need to do to negatively affect your body and to go through your new lifestyle. Now, don't be saying you're allergic and next week they see you eating cake. Now, don't be doing that, girl. Listen, you're going to stick to it if you're allergic.
You are allergic for life now.
Yeah, you're going to have to stick to that forever. But understanding that no is an anointed word. And that's actually a chapter in my book. It says the word no is an anointed word because we all, especially as women, there's this thing that we just feel like we have to say yes to people so we don't hurt people's feelings. I don't know. But we got to get over that so that we can heal, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, it is a weird phenomenon. It's like saying no to food, saying no to extra commitments, to helping, to caregiving, which I think caregiving and taking care of people, you know, whether it is your family or whether it is extended family, I think for a lot of ladies, I think that's some of the issue too, is that we overextend ourselves and then we end up being depressed when we're trying to really help and it just turns into a nightmare.
And we've exhausted all of our internal resources. We're exhausted emotionally, physically, and we cannot see our way to take the next step because we've committed and said yes to all these things that we really should have said no to. But that's part of the healing journey, and that's part of understanding your value and your worth. Because if you're in a position of value and worth and feeling like you're important, then that pressure to say yes and overextend yourself, that doesn't, you're able to say no because you understand what that means. Know that if I say yes to you, that means that I'm placing myself at the bottom of the list. And no, I'm not going to do that because I know I'm important and I know I'm valuable. And I have really important people that I care about in my life and that I love, and I need to be the best version for them and for me. And once you get and start from that position, then your whole outlook on things change. You're able to say no. You're able to go to a party and not feel pressured to drink or to, you know, eat cake or whatever it is that you don't want to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. How long do you think it takes people to actually have that realization in their mind or basically that come to like concrete, like light bulb go on that tells them, oh, right, I am taking on all of these things because I have this low self-worth and I can't say no. How long do you think it takes people to realize that?
I think from my experience, 6 months to a year before they get it. I mean, throughout that process, they'll have different scenarios that they go like, oh, I tried that and this is what happened. But after 6 months to a year, you're really working through understanding the process, healing from the trauma, and just rebuilding your self-confidence and your self-worth. But 6 months to a year would be average. Yeah, some people a little longer, you know, because they're not ready to face it or have had tremendous trauma that takes a while to undergo. But about 6 months to a year, that's what it took me. But, you know, before I was able to accept a new version of myself, which is one that is where I'm important, where I am the most important person in my life. And that's really hard for women because we put the kids, the husband, the job, the social commitments, the work, everything and everybody above our own needs.
Over and over again, I see it in ladies, especially when we've got some folks who, you know, they had baby number one and now they're trying to get that baby weight off and the weight just keeps going up and up and up. And it kills me because they just can't. And so it's good to hear the 6 months to a year. Everybody that I see in my practice who's listening to this podcast right now, 6 months to a year, you hear?
Yeah, 6 months. So don't go on 21 days and be like, okay, I haven't had this epiphany yet. No. Average is 6 months to a year, like before you start receiving, and that becomes a part of your new norm and then in your new lifestyle and where it's natural for you and doesn't feel like awkward. The first few times, you know, it's awkward. You're like, oh, and then you're debating in your head, should I say no now? Or should I, like, how do I say it? Like, I don't, you know, all these other things. But after that point, you're just like, no. And it's not even a second thought, you know? And so that's kind of the process for change. You know, it's not overnight. It's not 30 days, it's not 35 days or whatever. It takes time. It takes time. And you know what? But you're worth it. That's what I need women to know. You're worth it. You know, if it takes a year or it takes 2 years, guess what? That's 2 years well spent because you're worth it. And you're in a much better position working towards healing, working towards health than you were before.
Absolutely. You know? Absolutely. What is your favorite exercise to get ladies to believe that they're worth it?
Oh, I love affirmations. I do them every day on my radio show. Every episode I incorporate affirmations because we tell ourselves so many negative things all the time. We're telling ourselves how we, you know, don't look good. Our hair is too short. Our hair is too long. Our eyes are too big, too small. My skin's too dark. My skin's not dark enough. You know, we're telling ourselves all these negative things throughout the day. And for every negative thought, like every negative thing you say about yourself, it takes 13 positive things to erase that negative thing. So one of the exercises that I have clients do and that I think is so important is affirmations. And affirmations are just positive statements about ourselves. And I have them to focus on my three major ones are I am worthy, I am enough, and I am powerful. Because those three things are what so many women feel that they don't have enough. And I am loved as well. We don't feel like we're loved. We don't feel like we're important or we're worthy. So those are the staples in my life, you know, because we all still have experiences. Like, you never get to the point where everything's perfect, you know?
No.
Different stages of life, you know, as one stage ends, another stage begins, and you try to prepare as much as you can for that next stage, and you learn and you adapt. I'm still learning and I'm still adapting. But affirmations are so key, and I believe in affirmations and saying them throughout the day and having a morning routine where you're building up yourself and your self-confidence. Because certainly, most certainly, throughout that day, you're going to take hits. You're going to take things or negative people are going to come through your path or experiences at work or with the kids or with your husband or with your family members, sisters, brothers, whatever. But if you build yourself up in the morning, then you have energy and you have that reserve to get you through the day. But affirmations are so key. And I love I am statements. I use them every day throughout the day.
Nice. Let's repeat those for everyone. So the four that you just said. So
okay. The first one is I am enough.
Uh-huh.
I am worthy.
Okay.
I am loved.
Mm-hmm.
I am powerful.
There we go. Yeah. That was the four. So a lot of times on this podcast, with guest interviews, I always will have some takeaways for my audience, like one thing they can do. We've got four right now in terms of the affirmations to get started, to start with the positive talk, to start with changing their mindset about themselves. What other thing would you challenge my listeners to help themselves get on the right track? Would be one more
thing. The other thing that I think is so important is gratitude. When you say gratitude, people automatically think of, oh, I'm thankful for all the good things that happen. But guess what? Gratitude is more than just being thankful for the good things that happen. Gratitude is being grateful for everything. Because even through the negative experiences, learn and you grow and you adapt. Like for me, one of the most traumatic things that happened to me beyond my childhood experiences, one day I went to my doctor's appointment, and my doctor, who thought he was helping me at the time, pretty much said, called me fat. He was like, you're fat, and if you keep eating like this, you're going to die. And he looked at me and said, you're going to die. And literally, it crushed my soul. Like, I was crying because I couldn't believe he said it in that manner to me. And it was like very condescending, and he was talking down to me. But even though that experience was so painful, I'm grateful for it because it taught me that I am better than any situation. It taught me that I am worthy. It taught me that I am enough, and it taught me to help others in a way that where they don't feel that way. You know, it gave me the perspective for people and how I treat people that how I don't want them to feel what I felt in that moment with that doctor that called me fat. Like, and I'm grateful for that experience. And some people might say, well, oh my God, that was the worst thing ever. Why would you be grateful for it? Because it taught me. It made me better. It made me better as a therapist, made me better as a human. And so that's what gratitude is. And I like to start off every morning. Here's my morning routine. The first thing I do is I get up and I thank God for waking me up for another day, because I'm grateful for just being alive to have the experiences that I'm going to experience that day and have the ability to talk to people and to tell them I love them and to share the world with people. So that's the first thing I do. Second thing I do is I list out three things that I'm grateful for, you know, and it's sometimes small things. You know, one year we had a really bad snowstorm, and in Georgia we don't have those literally at all. It's like one time every 20 years. But we had an ice storm, you know, and we didn't have electricity. And you can imagine what it felt like, no heat, it's ice cold, we can't drive on the roads, you know, because we're not prepared for that weather here. So I was like, oh my God, I'm so grateful when the lights came back. I'm so grateful for electricity, you know. So it's not even about like the big things. It's sometimes the small things, you know. I'm grateful for, you know, having all my kids in one house. I'm grateful for the work that I do. I'm grateful for, you know, whatever it is, just finding that place and that peace of gratitude. And it's amazing the positivity that comes back to you when you start from a place of gratitude, and how people then receive you and interact with you when you're starting. Your starting point is, man, I'm just grateful. Even for the negative experience, my boss just yelled at me and said my report was wrong, but I'm going to be grateful for that experience because it's going to make me better. Can you imagine how your worldview would be different if that's how you treated those experiences, by being grateful? Like, it's a changer. It's a world changer. So that's one thing that I would give to your audience to try, to embrace gratitude.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because I think a lot of people at first are like, oh, it's kind of hokey. But if you start to get into it, it actually, you're like, wow, that was, you know, that is something to be thankful for, especially with, you know, negative things that do happen to you. Because I think a lot of times we can get in some pretty dark, deep holes with that.
It helps you to get out of it and helps you to see it in a different light. And all of the powerful people, everybody from Oprah to the kings of meditation, they all talk about gratitude. They all talk about the role of gratitude in their lives. So, it's a really important thing. It's not something to sneeze at, and it's not something that's, you know, oh, that's just Radisha talking. She's a therapist. No, it's something real. It's something that tremendously transform your life. So try a little bit of gratitude today and see how that works. See how that works for you.
Definitely think that's huge. You guys, listen to her. She knows what's up. I think it's huge. Now, one of the things that I highlighted in my intro for you is that you have a radio show, and it's called Therapy Matters, and you're on in Atlanta, and you're also on in Kentucky. Remind me the town in Kentucky.
Central City, Kentucky.
Central City, Kentucky. And what are those radio stations, and how can folks stream you live online if they want to catch your show there?
Absolutely. They can listen every night, Monday through Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard. In Atlanta, is on station 99.1 WDJY. Or you can listen online at the station's website at WDJYFM.com. That's WDJYFM.com. Also, Kentucky station is 104.3 in Central City, Kentucky. Or you can listen live on their station, WATMFM.com. So you can hear me every night, or you can hit me up on social media. I'm at Dr. Radisha, and that's R-A-D-I-S-H-A Brown. And I literally answer all my social media, which is crazy. I'm up really late most nights. I answer all my DMs because I get people asking different questions and stuff. So hopefully, you know,
you know, if you send me a DM and I can help, I certainly will do my best. I feel like, you know, it's my calling and what God put me on this earth to do. And I love talking to people and love meeting people and just love encouraging people, because I understand the place of sadness and I understand the journey from there to happiness. So, you know, you can visit me also on my website, girlgetoffthecouch.com, which is also the title of my new book that will be a story of a lifetime. It'll be my life and details about the transformation and what that was and what that looked like and the feelings and all that good stuff. So yeah, thank you so much for allowing me to be a part of your podcast. I just love the work that you're doing in informing the public on natural products and places and healing and health. We need so much more of that so that people can understand and there is help available and you can transform into your new you. You can do that. And so thank you for allowing me to be a part of your show.
And I couldn't have said it any better. Thanks, Radhika. I appreciate it. I can't wait for your book to come out because I have a whole bunch of folks that I'm thinking about I need to hand it out to one by one. And so we need to talk after this recording about how to get that book to my office. So we are going to chat.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thank you so much. I can't wait to put this out. My folks are going to be excited. It has been a wonderful opportunity.
Wow, Dr. Brown is quite an inspiration. I really do hope that those of you that listen to this podcast all the way through really took away some good nuggets from this podcast, because really it's not about the weight. It's not about the scale. It's not about finding the right meal plan that's going to work. It's not about finding the right guru that's going to get you through. You're going to get yourself through. You have to deal with that mind. You got to get that mind right. And Dr. Radhika is proof that if you get the mind right, you can accomplish all kinds of things. So don't walk away from this podcast feeling like, oh my gosh, I don't want to deal with what's going on in my head. I don't want to deal with those emotions. Know that you can. It's not going to be a quick fix. But once you get through working through some of the deepest, darkest things that have happened to you in life, there is going to be a big, huge light at the end of that tunnel with a big, huge rainbow. And you're going to feel a heck of a lot better. I'm not kidding. This is something that I have been working with myself one day at a time. And things are starting to turn around for me. So I know it can happen for you too. So start by finding a counselor that can help you with the traumas that you have experienced in life. Maybe you haven't had a trauma of sexual abuse. Maybe you haven't had anything remotely close to that. But like I always tell folks, anything that's had an impact on your life is a trauma to you. It doesn't matter how anyone else classifies it. It doesn't matter what you see out there being classified as a trauma. Your trauma is your trauma, and it's clearly affected you, and it's time to get some help. In my podcast notes at drjkrausnd.com, I have a list of resources in terms of where to find counselors that can help you in this situation, especially those that are culturally appropriate. Now, go out there, work on your affirmations, and work on gratitude. And I bet you'll start feeling a lot better in no time. You've survived another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. Have a great day, whatever you're doing.
Hey everybody, Dr. Janine Krause here. If you liked what you heard today, then head over to drjkrausnd.com to find my free resources and information to know when I post something new that's juicy that you might want to check out. Plus, head over to where you get your podcasts and like, subscribe, and write a review to help get the word out about me and help others at the same time to find me. It really does help, and I really appreciate all of your reviews.